If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we talk about the 9 signs you have an unhealthy relationship with exercise. Now, this episode is brought to you by one of our sponsors, Legion. They make high-performance supplements to help with strength, recovery, sleep, and more. Check them out. Go to buylegion.com. That's buylegion.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get yourself a discount or double rewards points. Also, new sale this month for workout programs. Check this out. 2 very popular programs, MAPS Strong and MAPS Powerlift, both 50% off this month only. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code MAY50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. Exercise, it could be good for you or it could be terrible for you. No joke. In today's episode, we talk about the 9 signs you have an unhealthy relationship with exercise. I feel like you're targeting me with this one.
No, I'm not. Although I feel like I've been going intervention. On a little bit on that for the last couple of months. Actually, what prompted this was we had a conversation somewhat around this, like just in one of our quads.
Yeah.
And I happened to be going through some of the YouTube comments, and I saw actually a handful of comments of people that recognize that they have an unhealthy relationship with exercise and that they're trying to work on it. And they were actually asking straight up, like, you know, I'm trying to become more aware of some of those signs. I thought, oh, you know what? That's actually a really good single topic. Because obviously we've talked about them, I think, throughout different shows, but actually formulating a single topic episode that is, let's go through all the things that we can think of when we had clients of like, oh, that could be a sign, right? Because sometimes you have a client and they're seeing good results, and as far as like the scales moving or they're getting stronger in the gym, but you don't know about their obsessions yet.
Right.
Like you don't get to see them at home obsessing over the scale or the mirror. Mm-hmm. You don't know if they're canceling events to do some of the family because they can't miss their gym. Like, so these are all things that, or they're weighing and tracking their food like crazy. And if they don't eat out of their food, they freak out and they cause a fight with their family. There's a lot of things that over time we've learned that, oh, wow, if a client is showing some of these signs and behaviors, they have an unhealthy relationship with exercise, and it's part of my job to also solve that. And
totally.
So let's talk about this.
Totally, because, you know, properly applied exercise, I mean, it'll profoundly affect your life in a positive way, but improperly applied exercise also will impact you profoundly in a negative way. That's why this is so important. You can lengthen your life or shorten your life. You can improve the quality of your life or decrease the quality of your life. You could encourage relationships to flourish or destroy them depending on how you use exercise. And we have a lot of experience with this because we work in the fitness industry and we worked in gyms. And especially with people who work in the fitness space, this is actually more common than not. More common than not will you see people who are trainers and coaches who are on the side of maybe an unhealthy relationship with exercise versus one that's healthy. So this one is, I've seen personally many times, and I've also battled this with myself. I would say, go ahead.
Oh, before we get into the things that we see, I was going to ask you guys just to speculate a little bit on, you know, why do you think that is? Like, why do you think that this is probably more common with people that have chosen this as a profession?
Yeah.
Then they are outside
I think it's more like you become obsessed with something, so then you want to make everything around your life revolve around it, so then you get into fitness,
right?
Type of deal. That might be the case, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you just get so passionate about, like, you mistake it for passion, obsession, and passion, where you dive all in. Like, this makes a lot of sense. I should, you know, also train people because I'm already at the gym anyways, and it sort of fits with that mold for them and their thought process.
And then you're surrounded by your peers, and it can really start to feed this. I think the saving grace, especially for trainers, are if you do it long enough and you care about clients enough, then that can kind of pull you out of it.
It's interesting because I can't help but think about like professional sports and how much we celebrate these athletes and actors. I would throw in the category too, actors and actresses that are obsessed with, you know, being the greatest basketball player ever or being the best actor ever. And many of them are or considered one of the best ever. And we, oh my gosh, we praise them. And this, but then what's going on inside, what caused them to be so obsessive about this, their profession, has caused all kinds of out of balance behaviors.
Yeah, you don't see the rest of their life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So. And so it's kind of like that. Like you've got this crazy obsession, which sometimes might make you a decent trainer, or maybe at least you had success in the field. And so a lot of times you don't see it because from the outside looking in, oh my God, they're shredded. And yeah. Oh, they've got a million followers and they got all these clients and they must be awesome and they must be so good at what they do. Meanwhile, inside they're tortured because they have a really out of balance life and unhealthy relationship.
Right. Any extreme pursuit tends to be unbalanced. I mean, that's outside of fitness even. Anytime you see someone who accomplishes something at a very, very high level, there's a lot of things that are lacking in their life because you can't do everything. You can't do everything all the time. And what happens, we tend to glorify that high achievement to the point where we ignore or are blind to. Like, it's like rock stars that we glorify that, you know, committed suicide in their 20s or died of drug overdoses. But we glorify them rather than saying, wow, that's a travesty. That's a travesty that they were so tormented type of deal. All right, so the first one, this one's important because those of us in fitness will easily dismiss this because exercising consistently is not what the average person does. So if you have friends or family members, and now what's important is that these are people you trust, okay? So it's not like your acquaintances or the guy at work that you know can kind of be jealous or whatever. These are people you know who you trust. You trust them with your kids. You trust them with your life or your bank account. You know that they have your best intentions. If you were to just be objective, you know, like, oh, my best friend, this person definitely cares about me. Well, if that person is telling you you're too obsessed about your workouts, you should probably listen to them. You should probably pay attention. Now, it's easy to dismiss because most people don't work out consistently. And I know I do this all the time. Well, you're too obsessed. And I think to myself, well, you don't.
You don't care enough.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
This is a fun one to talk about because there's a saying in the fitness space that's very popular. And I think it goes, lazy people could say that people with discipline are obsessed or something like that. There's a popular fitness saying that fitness fanatics tout all the time, that lazy people tell people that are disciplined that they're obsessed. And so how do you filter that out? And I think you preface this the right way, which is like, it needs to come from somebody who cares about you, right? Like there's obviously—
like you know those people in your life.
Yeah, there's obviously lazy haters. Lazy haters that are jealous of you that are going to say things to you that you're obsessed because they just want to tear you down. But then there's people, and many times this is your mother, your spouse, your best friend that's been with you for your whole life, like somebody who has celebrated all your other successes in life. They're happy for you when you make more money. They're happy for you when you get a new job. They're happy with you when you find love. That person is probably the same person who's happy for you when you're really healthy. And then they're probably also the same person who's going to say something to you when maybe you're a little bit obsessed. It's probably not the person who's ultra competitive with you, wants to see you fail, or is the putting you down. Like that's not the person that I'm listening to that's telling me that. All of us should have somebody in our life who we trust their opinion. And if that person is telling
you, even if it's a different from what you think, this is like such a self-awareness hack, by the way, is when somebody you're close to that you trust tells you something, even if you disagree with it, like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like pause for a second, be like, I trust that person. And they're saying that. And I know I'm not aware of everything that I do and how I am. Maybe I should consider that. It's just like a self-awareness tool across the board. So, you know, you got close friends or family members telling you, like, you're too obsessed about exercise. You probably are. You probably are, so you should listen to them. Next is when you're sick or injured or run down, you don't take time off. You never take time off. You go to the gym. Unless you're completely bedridden, you get up and make it to the gym. This is a sign that your relationship with exercise might not be so great because exercising and working out is a stress on the body. And when you're sick, injured, or run down, you're only doing your health a disservice. You're only knocking your body down even more. It's not beneficial. In fact, it's beneficial to take time off. So if that's you, that's a good sign right there.
Well, yeah, and I think too with this, like a lot of times it's somebody that's in that sort of momentum state. It's always has to be a momentum thing for them to be able to continue this this pattern, this healthy pattern that they've established. And it's like this fear and this real like visceral feeling that all this is going to just implode if I don't, push through, my body telling me I need to rest, recover, and heal from the sickness. When in fact, that's the best thing for you if you could think logically about it and rationally about it. But if you're in a rational state where it's like there's a fear there and a sense that like, it's all just going to go away in a week, then we have an issue.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Like, it's so irrational when you think about it, because the rest and recovery and health aspect of you getting in shape is such a major factor. And the fact that you're sick and yet you still won't miss is so crazy, because it's like you are only hurting yourself in this situation. So you have to have a very irrational way of looking at it for you to even go, because it makes no sense. It's like your body is needing all its resources to get better and recover. You going and training and adding a stress to that is only going to make it
worse. By the way,
worse.
The data on this is really clear. Like, if you missed a week every three or four weeks at the end of, 16 weeks, 20 weeks, you'll get the same results. I'm not just making that number up, by the way. There's an actual study that showed that. Now, I don't think it's identical. I think there are benefits to being active all the time. But my point is, missing a day, even if you weren't sick, isn't going to have these negative consequences. Missing a day when you're sick is going to have positive consequences. I think that's the point that we're trying to make here. Next is, if you were presented with less time in the gym but getting the same results, does that seem not appealing? Or does that make you go, ooh, I don't want to do that? I've actually experienced this myself, or I've experienced it communicating to people saying, you could get the same results doing less. And I've heard people say,
no, but I like to go every day.
But I like to go every day. Yeah. It's like, ooh, I don't know. That's interesting. It doesn't mean you can't do other things in the gym or do other things for your health, but why would you want to do more for the same? That's very interesting.
I mean, that screams I'm obsessed with this, or I have an unhealthy relationship with it How many people would work more to make less money, right? Or like, and if I told you, like, hey, you can work like half the amount of days and get paid exactly the same, and for you to be like, no, I just love to work.
Well, would again be a bad relationship. Like, you might not want to go home. You might not want to go home.
No, that's a workaholic. That's a great point. That's such a great point. But this is actually more common than you would think, because there's been many times where I've presented that to somebody when they break down what they're doing, and I'm like, hey, it doesn't have to be that hard, right? You do know that, like, you could be seeing as much, if not more, results if you had a better balance of exercise. Oh no, but I like this, and it's like, okay.
One of the surprising, but I guess not so surprising, criticisms of our most popular workout program, MAPS Anabolic, was it's only 3 days a week in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I like to go five. Do you have a 5 day a week in the gym program? And I was always like, huh? Interesting. Like, try it out and see what happens. And it's popular for a reason. People get phenomenal results. But it's interesting that some people's critiques are it's only 3 days a week in the gym. Not about the results. That's only 3 days
a week in
the gym.
And they even struggle when you do, because we've given people that like because I can respect I've carved out this hour. I've made this a daily habit that I carve out. But then I'll say things like, okay, well then like go for a walk for that, for two of the days.
Go do mobility. Cardio.
Go do mobility or stretch or, do some sauna and cold work. Like there's a lot of things that we can do that are going to be healthy, beneficial, and keep you on your every day you have this hour. Like, I'm totally for that but it's still, they want to get in the gym and push the weights or push the body. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, I mean, we can, but you would get more results if we actually let the body recover and had a better balance of nutrition, recovery, and stress.
Yeah, this next one is that is when missing a day in the gym actually causes stress for you. Now, this one I can identify with. This one I still struggle with, whether we're traveling or doing other things. Is there a gym nearby? Because God forbid I miss, that one workout this month. And so I have to reflect on myself. I have to really self-reflect and be like, okay, what's going on here? Why am I tripping that I'm going to miss a workout? Maybe I'll sleep in more. Maybe I'll whatever. But if this is you, this is a problem. Like, if you're missing a day for whatever reason, go watch somebody's graduation, spend some time with your spouse, or go travel or go on vacation. That's another one. People on vacation. You're stressed out that there isn't a gym, at your hotel or whatever. like that, that's a sign that there may be a relationship here with exercise that's not necessarily healthy.
No, because this is an area that you admit that you've had to self-reflect on, and maybe somebody else has felt this. Like, what are some of the things that you have noticed or that you can attribute that to? Like, what has caused that? Is it just years and years of being so consistent? Is it there's something that you want to look a certain way, or you've identified that I need to do this in order to feel a certain way or have a certain type of day? Like, have you made connections?
My relationship with the workout itself, it's not how I look. I know it's not going to change my body. I've been doing this long enough to know that. So that doesn't bother me. If I took weeks off, maybe. But a day off, it's I love the feeling of the workout. I'm not going to get that. And then it's like, well, what's the big deal? Why does it stress me out? So that's the interesting conversation I have.
So maybe you're so connected to like the endorphins, the pump.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Okay. And it has in the past caused stress. Now I'm a lot better with this. I'll take time off when I need to, but I still find myself planning around that time off with my workouts, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing, but it's a step. It's a step towards a better relationship.
But I think, I mean, wouldn't you think the majority is more concerned about their aesthetic appearance?
Yes.
Diminishing somehow.
Oh, yes. I think so. I mean,
yeah, that's
what,
most people.
That's what it was for me when I had this going on. Like, it was just like, oh my God,
when I was a kid,
if I don't lift, I'm going to lose the muscle. I was obsessed with, because too, I think back then, I mean, the workout gave me the pump, made me feel a little bit bigger. I was so obsessed with being small, that 2 days in a row of not going to the gym, and I felt like I was shrinking. So yeah, definitely. I think
that was when I was a kid. Now as a 45-year-old man, I'm not worried about that so much. I've done it, you know, enough times to know that's not going to happen. But yeah, when I was a kid, for sure. I'm not going to have protein at this time. I'm not going to work out. Muscle's going to just disappear.
Yeah.
All right, next, this is a good sign that you're doing too much. Which is you come back to the gym after a layoff for whatever reason. Maybe you were sick and you took time off or you got injured. You go back and you're like, whoa, I feel stronger. I used to notice this after vacation as a kid. I'd take some vacation. I remember one year I went to Italy for the summer and I was there for 2.5 weeks. And it was a small town that we were in. We didn't have a car. It was a very small town. And there's a gym in that town. And I was like, oh, I'm going to work out in this gym. But I didn't know when we got there that gym was closed for the entire month of August. And that's when I was there. So I was like, there's no gym. So for 2.5 weeks, I didn't really do any strength training. And I came back to the gym and I remember being way stronger than when I left. And it was a funny moment for me because I needed that time off.
It took me a couple years in a row. So we used to have this trip that I did ever since I was a kid in like junior high all the way up into my mid-20s. Where my best friend and his family would go up to Lake Trinity and we basically would lay around the lake, camp out, eat camp type food, drink sodas. I mean, totally off the diet, no weight training. The only bit of form of exercise was wakeboarding is what we do for a couple hours a day. I mean, there was like none of that. And I'd always come back from that trip feeling better in the gym. Because what I did was I trained real hard to go there. I'm going to be in the lake. I'm going to be on the boat. Like, I want to look jacked. I want to look as physical. So the lead up was always like training super hard and crazy and to get in the best shape I could be for the lake week. And then I'd come back and it took multiple years in a row. Like the first time I probably thought it was just some anomaly or maybe attributed, it's the sun. Yeah. My vitamin D made me buff. You know,
wakeboarding made me stronger.
Yeah, something, right? Like I always attributed it to something else than what it was. And then I started to realize like, oh shit, maybe I'm really overdoing it and my body just needed that recovery and rest. I finally was forced to give it to it. And then I saw this rebound. It took me a while to piece that together.
As somebody who's struggled with this, with my relationship with exercise, I'll tell you what, almost every time I've consistently reduced intensity or frequency or volume, I've improved. Almost every single time I've applied the less is more approach, I've done better. Now, for the average person who struggles making it to the gym, that's not going to apply to you. But if this is you, if you're listening and so far everything's resonating, take a step to reducing volume, intensity, frequency, either one of those or all of those, and you'll probably see yourself improve.
That was especially relevant for me with the intensity piece, right? Because I was stuck in that mentality for years with I had to just crush every workout, crush my body to the point where I'd squeezed every last potential out. And then we took a week off and came back and felt like $1 million. And all of a sudden now I could load 10, 20 pounds more on the bar. It's like, this is just like dumb that I have that mentality.
So I'm so glad you said that because this is something that I felt like even when I thought I solved this or thought like I had figured this piece out, I've learned that still, like it was when we created Mass 15 was the most recent time that I learned again.
Yeah, again. Yeah, again.
I was like, damn, how could this program be giving me the results that like with all
moving
my-
moving me forward and it's this little, yeah.
And so I do really think there's like really two camps of people. Like you, if we had to categorize people into two camps that we're speaking to right now.
Yeah, the graph would have two high peaks on the ends and very little in the middle, right?
Yes. And I really think there's a portion of people listening right now that this doesn't apply to. You haven't been able to put 2 weeks together of training and dieting before, and you don't need to hear any of this advice. It's like, you need to first be considered. Then there is the people that consider themselves love working out or fitness fanatics, or I never met, like that group, I bet that wherever they're at in their training volume and intensity, reducing that significantly.
I would bet 9 out of 10.
Will show them positive results. Yep. And I think that was the thing that blew me away was even after I thought I had learned that lesson, I still learned that lesson again, older, wiser, and experienced that, man, it takes to, if it's really funny to, if, when you your dieting right or you're eating balance, hitting what you need to hit macros wise, you're getting good sleep and rest, you're mitigating most of the stress in your life, you're getting sunshine and stuff outside, to actually stimulate to the body to respond, to positively respond, to either maintain muscle or build muscle or to build strength, it doesn't take nearly as much. And I think we've over glorified the intensity failure thing. And we've all fallen in this category of following the lead of all these huge jacked bodybuilders that are on all kinds of copious drugs and training to grow.
I'm glad you're bringing them up because the difference in recovery and adaptation ability with those extreme athletes or bodybuilders is so different from the average person.
Yeah.
You're not even in the same universe. And so what these bodybuilders have found is that through their own training is that they apply a certain amount of intensity, frequency, volume, they build muscle, but they also recover so fast that if they add more, they build more muscle. And so when you look at their routines, they have trained in a way that maximizes their muscle growth. Their bodies does not reflect how your body will respond. You try doing what they did, even after training for 10 years, and you're very likely to severely overtrain. You're very likely to not even close to those results. So I wouldn't look at the 0.001% of extreme anybody and say, I'm going to apply that same strategy. That'll work for me.
Right.
All right. The next point is that you're just not healthy. Like, think about it. You work out a lot. You do, you know, you're fanatical about it. You're always consistent, but you don't feel good.
Yeah. All your other health markers are down.
Yeah. You don't feel good. You're stiff. Your joints hurt. Why do I have all this pain? It must be because I work out.
Inflamed all the time.
Yeah. Inflamed. Your sleep isn't good. You're getting sick very easily. You're experiencing anxiety, you know, issues or whatever. Like it might be the exercise. It might be the workout. The workout might be making you not healthy. And I know this as well. If I go too hard in my workouts, I just don't feel good. And in the past, as a kid, I would ignore this in pursuit of trying to just keep pushing myself.
I'm going to add to that, you're not getting healthier too, right? Because some people start their pursuit. They already know they're unhealthy. So they start their pursuit. And ideally, if we have the right balance of exercise, rest, nutritional, and strength training, the stuff that we're talking about, then all markers across the board should start to show positive from that. And if you're somebody who's like decided to get into training and you're not seeing the markers go in the right direction to getting healthier, then there's a good chance that there's an overapplication of intensity or volume here, that you're overdoing it, which is actually really common where someone is told from their doctor, you need to get in shape, you're way overweight, you got high blood pressure, you got all this stuff going on. And so they're now motivated to go in the gym. And instead of like easing their way in, slowly increasing volume and intensity over time and building, they go right into a balls wall. And then they get feedback a month later. And a lot of these markers are not improving. Yeah. Because they're over-applying their
intensity. They never spent the time to build into that adaptation so that way they actually have that kind of resilience to the stress. They're just adding all the stress without the recovery to build them so they can have this resilient result.
Yeah, we had a listener recently who, I believe they were a caller at first. They called in and they went through their workouts and what they're doing. And it was very obvious to all of us within 2 seconds that this person was severely overtraining, like severely. It was too much and not eating enough. And so we informed this young lady, drop way off, take a week off, when you come back, do way less, eat more, whatever. Anyway, this person later on posted in one of our groups, and the doctor had, she'd done a routine test because she wasn't feeling good. Her CK levels were so high that she almost had to get hospitalized because they had to filter her kidneys. And her question was, what should my workouts look like during this period of time? Right. So, I mean, this can get really, really bad. And I'd like to go back to that first one. I bet you there's people in this person's life who at this point who are saying, you need to stop. This is you're way too obsessive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely listen. All right. The next one is that you allow the mirror or the scale to drive your gym routine or choice of exercise. I like this one a lot, Adam. I know you added this one, but I like it because I'll get clients who on all other measures were doing great, you know, more energy, stronger, feeling good, whatever. But if the scale didn't move in the right direction, it ruined their day, or vice versa. We'd have all these markers going in the wrong direction, but because they saw the scale move in the direction that they wanted, now they're like, everything's good. And it's like, no, it's not. You feel like crap. Your hair's falling out. Health is going south. Just because you lost weight doesn't mean you're doing better.
Yeah, this one came to mind because it was one of the last clients that I had trained when I worked in a commercial gym. And it was one of the last conversations I remember having with a client like in a commercial gym. And I remember coming to the gym the next morning, right, like from work. And I had seen this client the day before. And I came in the morning at a time that she normally isn't. And I saw her over on the elliptical just going bald. And like she'd already been there for, I don't know, half hour, hour already, just sweating like crazy. And I said, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I woke up this morning and the scale hadn't moved. Or I can't remember if she had moved or was up a pound or something. But she read the scale. And she was so unhappy with it. And she had even in addition to that, like skipped like eating. Like she didn't want to, she was going to cut out calories and she came after it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like that scale is, I don't care if that goes up or down a pound or two here and there as we're going through this process. Like we have a plan right now and this is not part of the plan to do that. Like stay to the course, trust the process. Like one day of getting on the scale and or the mirror in this case is not a good reflection of are we heading the right way or not. And this is not part of what I have you doing. And so it just was so funny to me that, I mean, this is a client that I'm training. I got the program. I've got the diet. I'm telling her what to do. And then this was something. And so it's like, man, if these are my people who like hire me, that pay me to tell them what to do, how many people just do this to themselves?
This used to affect me quite a bit. And so I'm going to give some advice to someone right now who's like, oh my gosh, like I do that. Like, how do I fix this? Well, step one is to not weigh yourself anymore. Not to tell yourself it's not going to trigger you because it will. Don't weigh yourself for a long time. Look at other things that'll tell you whether or not you're progressing or not. And then the other one is don't study your body in the mirror. This is what I had to do is I would, when I'd get dressed, I wouldn't sit there and look at my body and how I was improving. I would just put my shirt on and I would ignore, you know, a shirtless reflection in the mirror. And I had to do that for almost an entire year before I could really solve this issue. Before that, the mirror would definitely dictate, I'm doing more of this, I'm doing less of that. I need to go to the gym, go harder, I need to go push or whatever. And it wasn't something I wasn't fully aware of until my health went south, which, you know, that's the story I've talked about many times. Yep. Next up, this one's a tough one for me now, which is you take gray market substances to try and accelerate results. So are you buying a lot of things online that are iffy, that you know are gray market, research lab stuff, whatever, to try to gain that extra edge with your performance?
You just speed things up in general, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of this when this was my first introduction to steroids. I remember as a trainer, I, you know, had a little bit of nutrition knowledge. I had a little bit of exercise knowledge. I've been in the field now a couple years. And I still hadn't pieced it all together for myself yet. And I was convinced that these guys on magazines on men's health magazines and men's fitness and stuff like that, that had these abs and were jacked and looked so good. Like the difference, because at this point in my career, I'm thinking, I know the nutrition, I know the exercise stuff, I'm consistent in the gym. The only missing piece that I haven't messed with is steroids. And that's got to be what all these guys are doing. That's what it takes to get to that level. Mm-hmm. That must have been the missing block. And, you know, and I went that way. And of course, it was driven because I had an unhealthy relationship with my body, with exercise. And it was completely wrong. I didn't get more results because of that. I got stronger in the gym, but I didn't get that.
It was
look.
Nowhere near the magic pill.
It was nowhere near the look that I thought I was going to get from this thing. And I was so disappointed in that. And it wasn't until way later in my career that I realized I just did not fully understand yet. I did not understand the proper balance of exercise. I didn't understand like program design at the level I did. I didn't understand nutrition at the level I did. And that is what really made the big difference.
Yeah, I'll never forget when I used to have a gym in Southern California, and I had a sales guy that worked for me. And this gym was in Southern California, it was close to Mexico. And they would go across the border, and him and some trainers, and they'd come back with all these anabolic steroids or whatever. And this guy was on, the doses he was taking were, I mean, I was surprised that he hadn't, that something serious hadn't happened to him. He was young, so I think his body was pretty resilient. But he didn't even look like he worked out. He literally didn't even look like he worked out. Now, the reason why that happened was because he didn't know how to train right. His diet was crap. He drank alcohol. He didn't get good sleep. But he took all these drugs thinking it was going to make him, you know, look a lot different. And the reason why I'm saying that is because they're not the answer. But if you're searching for the answer, and especially if you're going gray market, especially black market, there's a problem.
Well, that's what I think the majority, it's a misconception to what you brought up. It's, and they'll maintain those bad habits. Like they'll not get the best sleep, or they'll not have the best nutrition to go in conjunction with this, or they feel like this is going to elevate their training on such a higher degree that it's going to compensate for all of that. When, you know, at the end of the day, if you're just consistently doing the right thing, you're going to have such a bigger impact every day of the week.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to add to that too. I know I listed this as gray market substance, but I think this falls in the category too, which is if you don't have the disposable income and you're spending $300 to $500 a month on supplements, period.
Yeah.
Even ones that are not.
You cannot buy $300 to $500 worth of supplements that would move your progress forward 2%.
Yes.
They don't exist.
Exactly.
So that's a fact.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring that up because I was also guilty of this as a kid. Like I think I was making like $7 an hour, but buying three, I was like at least two paychecks were going to, of my four paychecks were going to the supplements and stuff that I was taking, thinking that that was going to get me that look. And so maybe you don't do steroids, maybe you don't mess with SARMs, but you know, you don't have a lot of money and you're spending a big part of your budget on supplement products, thinking that it's going to get you this look. When we talk about supplements, I tell people, like, because we can sit here and pick apart like, oh, it does this, it does that. I go, listen, hey, if you've got the disposable income and you want to try it out and apply it, I'm all for it. Like I tell people all the time, like, you know, you think that this thing is going to give you better results. And maybe it is. Maybe spending an extra $50 makes you more consistent with something like that, or you feel enough of a difference that it makes you feel good, then go for it. But I like to tell the kid or the average person who can't spend $500 on supplements a month that, listen, it is not going to give you the results you think it's going to give you. It's not worth that much money.
How much money would you and I have if we took all that money we spent on supplements and put in the stock market?
It reminds me of that stat I gave you guys on the iPhone.
I know,
right? If I would have actually put the money on supplements in the supplement companies and their shares, I'd be a billionaire by now.
I know, it's hilarious. All right, last is that you finish your workouts and you leave the gym and you feel sick, or you have a headache, or you feel run down. Mm. Here is a wonderful sign that your workout is inappropriate. You feel worse after the workout than you did before. You should, most of the time, because I know there's some people like, what about those hardcore crazy workouts? Okay, you know, here and there, maybe once a year you test yourself or whatever. But if you're working out and you're doing this long term and you don't feel better after your workouts, you did something wrong, especially if you feel a lot worse after your workouts. Now, I remember this feeling for me. I remember leaving the gym as a kid and having to go home and take an hour or 2 hour nap on the couch because I just destroyed myself in the gym. Not realizing that I would have got such better results.
I'd push leg days to throwing up. I've thrown up. I've walked out of the gym and fell off the curb because I had no strength
couldn't
in my legs.
Couldn't walk for like 2-3 days and, real well.
And the worst part about that was like, yes, yeah, I got it.
So proud.
Yeah, I did it. Like that added 5 pounds of muscle, right? You know, like, no, it's so crazy how backwards thinking that is, that training that way is accelerating your progress. Many times it's causing you not to see progress and not having, and which is even more crazy that I pushed myself to limits of throwing up, to falling off a curb, thinking I'm going to build more muscle, realizing I built none from
that. And what's terrible is that many fitness, I don't know, companies, gyms, fitness programs, they actually use this as a way to advertise.
Yeah.
They'll show, wow, this is the hardest workout you'll ever. You survived. In fact, they name classes after things. And now it's such a common name that we don't even think about it. But the reason why boot camps exist is because boot camp used to mean military boot camp. So the average person said, wow, that workout is a boot camp. That's going to kick my ass for sure. Yeah. And they thought it was a great workout. Terrible workout. It's terrible. If you feel like crap after your workout, you definitely did something wrong, 100%. Look, we have free guides here at Mind Pump. In fact, we have a peptide guide. We talked about gray market supplements. These are peptides that you get from a doctor. You get a prescription. Anyway, we have a guide that breaks down the most popular peptides, and it's free. It's totally free. You can find it at mindpumpfree.com. You can also find all of us on social media. Justin is on Instagram at mindpumpjustin. I'm on Instagram at mindpumpmedia, and Adam is on Instagram at mindpumpadam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.